Isn't it good to know that we have Christ alone, especially in those times when it seems like we might be all alone, that we have Him all times. There was a young couple that moved into a new home in a new neighborhood, and one morning they were sitting in the kitchen and they were having breakfast and coffee together, and the neighbor was putting up her laundry on the line out to dry. Apparently some people still do that. And the wife was looking out the window and she commented, she goes, "Wow, look how dirty her clothes are. Has no one taught her how to really wash? Maybe her soap isn't that good." Periodically, this would happen again and again as they'd be sitting in the kitchen, and she would always comment on how the clothes were dirty, and she was putting dirty clothes and just needed to have it fixed and everything needed, but she never did anything about it, but just complained. Then one morning it happened again, and as she was sitting there, the woman comes out from the neighbor house and starts putting up the clothes, and all of a sudden the wife goes, "Wow. Look how clean her clothes are. I wonder who went over there and told her how to clean clothes properly." And her husband just quietly said, "Well, I woke up early this morning and I washed our windows." Sometimes we do the same with sin, don't we? Sometimes it's easy for us to see the dirt in others, but fail to see the dirt that we live with ourselves. This morning, I want to ask you a question. I want you to consider a question. And if you want, you can write it down on your bulletin. Answer this question for me, all right? What is the worst thing that someone has done to you? What is the worst thing that someone has done to you? Now it's interesting because probably I'm seeing something like, "Oh, that was," you know, you start writing it down. Others of you are probably sitting there going, "Well, which one is it? Which one do I want to consider the worst thing? I have a list of things that people have done to me. What's the worst thing? I don't know, you know." But we're able to think of those things, right? You know those things. Well, let me ask you another question. Second question. What is the worst thing that you have done to someone else? Now, that question we don't like. And that's maybe a little bit harder because that's not an answer that's at the top of our heads. I don't like to consider my own actions, right? I don't like to sit there and go, could what I have done offended somebody? Is what I am doing in my life something that will hurt or offend or is a sin against somebody else? We can clearly see the dirt on other people's laundry, but what about our own? What about sin in general? This morning we're going to look at a text in Luke chapter 17, and you can feel free to turn there, which at face value, as you're looking at it, may look like three very different teachings. And sometimes Jesus would do that. He would just kind of like bounce from teaching to teaching and say, "Here, I just got a bunch of things that I want to share with you," and they may seem disconnected. And this is one of those passages. And to be honest with you, it can be an uncomfortable teaching. You know, it's one of those ones that we kind of go, "Well, I didn't wake up this morning going, boy, I really hope Pastor preaches on sin this morning." But I found in Scripture that a lot of Jesus' teachings are actually pretty uncomfortable. You ever notice that? When you're reading through Scripture, you're going, "I don't know if I like what he's saying here." He definitely said things that the people didn't like at the time. But in this one, what we see is we're going to see in a moment, three different teachings: sin, faith, and duty. All right, but let's read the text first together, starting at verse 1 of chapter 17 of Luke. All right, it says this: Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down and eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also say, when you have done everything you are told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty. Now again, as you look at that, this looks like 3 fairly disconnected teachings, don't they? And as we see, Jesus starts out and he's like, okay, let's deal with the topic of sin, right? Jumps right into it. And he says, let's talk about sin here. And actually, let's talk about 2 different types of sin. And notice the first one, he says, let's talk about when you sin against others. This is the area where the Pharisees and the people that were listening were rather than he didn't talk about. Because the common thing was to look at everybody else and seeing how bad they were doing. And he starts right at it as, let's look at what about you? Let's look at your sin. What if you sin against others? He says to them, woe to those who cause someone else to stumble. It would be better to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the sea. And he says, rather than causing one of these little ones. Now, what's interesting about that is we often take that passage to say that, and others, we'll see in a moment, but if you say, cause a little one of these to stumble, we look at that and say, children, if you cause children to stumble, which that could have very well been part of it. But another part of it is that he was talking to a crowd of adults, and some have even said that quite possibly these little ones were the ones that he was considering young in the faith, new believers in Christ, new followers of the way. And he's saying, look, for those of you who are mature in the faith, if you are living in such a way that you're causing one of these young believers, new believers, to sin, watch out. That's a severe thing. And the reality is that, do we consider our sin severe? We might not. Might be one of those things where we look at our sin and we're like, well, you know, it's sin. You know, I can repent. But look at what Matthew 18, verses 6 through 9 says. It's kind of a repeat of what he says in Luke, but he adds a little bit more to it. He says, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned into the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have 2 hands or 2 feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with 1 eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. Now, I've actually heard some people say, you know, if you as Christians really followed the Bible, no guy would have eyes and a lot of people would be missing body parts. Yeah, I get that. There's truth to that. But do you understand what Jesus is saying here? The point is, the teaching isn't, if you sin, cut off the offending part. The part of the teaching is, do you understand the severity of sin? Do you see how horrible sin is? Or do I look at it and simply go, it's not that bad? It's easy for us to say it's not that bad. In the culture in which we live, as a matter of fact, we see Paul even talking about this. Look in 1 Corinthians 6:12 what he says. He says these words, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You see, what he's using is the phrasing of the day, and he's saying, these are the words that you're saying. I have the right to do anything. Have you heard that lately? This is being played all over in our culture today. It is my choice. It's my decision. You have no right to tell me what I can and what I cannot do. I even heard a preacher one time, who I wouldn't call a preacher, that actually said if you feel freedom in doing what you're doing, then it's okay. If I feel freedom in doing it, well, I'm free to do whatever I want. You can't tell me what I'm going. But do we understand how severe sin is? Jesus sent his son. Why did he send him? To die. Why did Jesus have to die? Because of the wrath of God that was on my sin, something had to die for that. That was my place. That was my role. That was my responsibility. I earned death, and Jesus took my place. Not so that I could say that sin isn't so bad, but so that I could see how horrible a sin is. Do I see my sin in light of God's eyes? But then Jesus says, there's another part to this. There's your sin. Woe to you if you do this. But let's also talk about, what if others sin against you? Because this is an area where, yeah, we kind of struggle with this. You know, I can figure out all of the things that people have done to me. And some of those things I could probably remember for years. Some things in people's lives, they're going around living joyless because they don't even remember why they're upset with somebody. They just know that they have something against them. I've been in marriage counseling before, and there's a common thing. If there is a conflict within the relationship, oftentimes it'll eventually come to this point. Do you have any idea what they have done to me? Do you ever do that when you get into an argument with your spouse? Well, you did this. Nobody does that here, right? You know, that's our natural inclination. Our natural inclination is to become historical. We begin to list the things of what others have sinned against us, what you have done to me, and I will remember all of these things. Jesus, however, he goes in the text, he said, if someone sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they do it 7 times in a day, forgive them every time. Now, I love that because notice what it says. It doesn't just say, if they sin against you, just, okay, I forgive you, and go on. It actually says, show them their sin. Go to them and show them their sin. Bring their light to sin. And if in that moment they repent, then he says, forgive them. I love, because notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, if somebody sins against you, cut their hand or foot off. That would be kind of over the top. But he says, look, if they repent, forgive them. A process that we often like to say in churches in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. This is what we are to do if someone sins against us or if we have a brother or sister in sin. Look what it says. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or tax collector. This is the process by which Jesus says, here is how you deal with sin in the church. Here is how you deal if somebody sins against you. But I have to tell you, in all honesty, in all my years of ministry, rarely have I seen this process followed. I also want to notice something with this. This is not a go to them when you don't like something that they've done. That's not what Jesus is saying. If you don't like how they're doing something, you know, go to them and tell them you don't like how they're doing. No, this is if somebody sins. If somebody sins against you, point out that sin. It's not a confrontation of, you know what, I don't like how you did this, therefore I think you need to fix this. The problem that often happens is we will confront one another not on sin, but on preference. And then when it comes to sin, we will overlook it and sweep it under the carpet. And Jesus says, look, if they are in sin, confront them with the sin, and if they repent of that sin, then forgive them. Then it's all done. It's wiped away. We like to jump to the end. That person sinned against me. I'm going to treat them like the sinner that they are. And before we know it, all of a sudden, half the church knows what happened, and that person doesn't even know what happened. But Jesus makes it clear. Show them their sin. If they repent, forgive them of their sin. Even if it happens 7 times in a day, not 7 times in a week. He says if it happens 7 times in a day, they do the same sin against you, but they come back and repent of that sin, you must forgive them. That's not easy teaching, is it? I can overlook once. You know, what is that saying? You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, kind of thing. Sin against me once, shame on you. I'm not going to allow you to do it again. And Jesus is saying, no, there's no limit on this. Sin is severe. Deal with it. Forgive and move on. But then here it just seems like he kind of takes, there's a turn in the subject, doesn't it? Because all of a sudden, the disciples just kind of go, Jesus, increase our faith. It's almost like in that moment that they're like, we don't like what you're talking about. Let's go somewhere else. Let's talk about something else, right? But actually, when you look at it, what they were saying was, Lord, increase our faith to forgive. They were looking at this, and yeah, they were going, wow, this is difficult teaching. You don't understand. In the culture, all you had to do was forgive a person 3 times, and then after that, there was no reason why you needed to forgive them. And Jesus is saying not only 3 times, but 7 times in one day, forgive them all of it. And they realized this goes beyond our capability. We can't do this on our own. And the truth is, for all of us, apart from Christ, we cannot forgive. It's too hard. We hold on to it. But look what it says in Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has any grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Forgiving someone for something that they did to me, it is hard. Very hard. Because in us, there's this innate need for things to be made right in there. It needs to be fair. So our thing is, you have wronged me, therefore, this needs to be made even, it needs to be fair, so I need to get back to you in some way. And usually the way that this happens is that what we do is we take it out on the other person. We don't like what you did, so what I'm going to do is I'm just not going to talk to you. I'm not going to, you're dead to me, you know, that whole, and when we kind of go on and treat them as though they were nobody, because we need to make them feel the hurt that we experienced. And the truth of that matter is, the more that we go down that path, the more we steal our own joy, and they don't feel anything. What if Jesus treated our sin the same way that we want to treat other sins against us? What if Jesus said, you know, I don't think I want to forgive that sin. You know, that person, they used my name in vain. And I don't like that. You know what? My blood doesn't cover their sin. Or, you know, that lady, you know, she's not respecting her husband the way that she should, or she's gossiping, and you know what, that I can't do that. And you know what? I really don't see the remorse. I don't see the sadness in it. I don't see true repentance happening there. You know, could you imagine if Jesus functioned that way with us? None of us would be getting into heaven. But look what Romans 12, 17 through 21 says. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, I'm not going to go into it, but I would encourage you, do a little bit of research on that statement where he says you will be heaping burning coals on their head. Probably not what you thought. But notice what he says. He says, when someone sins against you, it's not your place to gain the revenge. It's mine to avenge, says the Lord. It's my place to make sure that things are right. It's my place to make sure that that person is dealt with in the way that is right. It says simply this, if somebody sins against you, just leave it up to me and let it go. Folks, I can't tell you how many times I have seen Christians walking around living joyless lives because they were unwilling to forgive. They were allowing unforgiveness to steal their joy. So now you can see why in that moment the disciples look to Jesus and go, Jesus, increase our faith. This wasn't the whole idea of Jesus, just let us be like super faithful guys, all right? No, this was them saying, this is hard. You're asking us to do a very hard thing. We need the faith to go along with that. And then it seems like once again, Jesus just takes a left turn and goes into something completely different. He says, you know what, if a guy's out in the field and he's working and he comes in, what master is going to tell him, you know what, good day's work, just go and relax? No, he says, the master's going to say, go get ready, make me my meal, serve me my meal, and then when that's done, then you can go and you can have something to eat. And then, don't think you're going to get this huge reward because it's your job. And, you know, I kind of look at that and I go, wow. What is Jesus doing here? I mean, is he saying that all of a sudden, you know, he's like, forgive sin and deal with that and increase your faith and, oh, by the way, be a jerk to the people that work under you? I mean, I'm looking at that and going, this makes no sense. What is he doing here? But understand, once again, he is bringing this teaching back to the idea of sin. And he's saying that it is our duty as followers of Christ to forgive sin. It is our duty to forgive one another. Notice what he's bringing across here. He says, look, if you are doing something that should already be done, don't expect it to be some big thing. You know, it's like, I struggled with that because I'm hearing, you know, it's like, should you expect to be thanked when you do a job well done? I mean, yeah, we kind of feel that way, don't we? I mean, if I am a leader over people and I see that they're doing a good job, the last thing I want to do is walk up to them and say, what are you expecting? It's just do your job. No, I want to be appreciative. We want to be appreciated for what we do. So what is Jesus doing here? Really, the point that he's saying is, look, sin is real. People sin against us. We're to forgive them. We need the faith to be able to forgive them. And when we do forgive them, Don't pat ourselves on the back as though we are some super Christian. I think sometimes what we do is we kind of go, whew, you know what? I forgave them for that. I actually forgave them for that. Now I think Jesus should throw me a go you party. You know? You did such a good job. You forgave somebody. No, this is where Jesus is saying, don't come to the place where what you're doing is you're saying, because I forgave, I'm better than everybody else. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, he says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. See, this doesn't look like a situation where it's a, if you forgive, then you're better than everybody else. If you know, there's certain ones that you can forgive, and boy, if you can forgive these ones, then, you know, you're better than other people. I will never forget, I had an individual walk up to me in the church, and they were after an adult Sunday school class, and they said, Pastor, I got to talk to you. This morning, our teacher, she was talking about forgiveness. And she used that passage where it says that if you forgive others, then the Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then he will not forgive you. And she went down this path of, we have to, it's, you know, this is a requirement, forgive, 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 forgive. And then turned around and said, there is a situation though where there's a person who did this to me and I cannot forgive them. And I'm justified in doing so. And I'm thinking to myself, when were we put into the place when we can determine what sin is forgivable and what sin is not? Again, what if Jesus treated us the same way? Colossians 3:13, Paul says these words, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I love this because notice what he says. Forgive which grievances? Any grievance. All grievance. There is no sin, no grievance, nothing that we have had done against us that we are not supposed to forgive. This is the duty of a follower of Jesus Christ. We don't pick and choose which sins we want to forgive. We don't decide on percentages. We don't go, you know what? Well, I mostly forgave them. You know, it's kind of funny with the whole saying, forgive and forget. Sometimes I've heard people say, you know what, I can forgive them, but I'll never forget what they did to me. My response is always, well, then you've never really forgiven them, have you? Because we cannot forgive on percentages, on partial forgiveness. We are to completely forgive. We are to, every sin, leave it to God. Every person, all the time. Now you understand how hard that teaching is that Jesus is bringing to his disciples. See, I asked you the question in the beginning, what is the worst thing that has been done to you? And my guess is in some of our hearts, we felt that anger begin to come to the surface, or that hurt. And we remember, and we kind of went, oh yeah, I remember. But Jesus says, look, in the moment like that, we are to forgive. Allow me to increase your faith because this is what we are to do, not something that if we do it, we're better. As a matter of fact, when we don't forgive, that decreases our faith. When we can't forgive, that lessens our spirituality and our walk with the Lord. So my question then is, how do we apply this today? What does this mean to us today? Well, let's start with the one that Jesus started with. If you have sinned against someone. See, again, this is something that we don't often think about, do we? We don't lay in bed at night going, did I do something to somebody today that I hurt them? We don't do that. But in a moment, the Holy Spirit works on us. And look at the words that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. He says, if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in the front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then and come and offer your gift. You know what? Don't do the spiritual, traditional, religious things and think it's okay. He said, look, if you sinned against someone, go and make it right. If you need to go and ask for forgiveness, go and ask for forgiveness. True freedom as a disciple of Jesus comes when we can have a clear conscience, one that says, I have dealt with my sin. But as I said, let's move to the second one. Maybe some this morning are carrying with them unforgiveness that has stolen your joy. I ask the question, what is the worst thing that has been done to you? Let's rephrase that question. What hurt are you carrying today that is stealing your joy? Let me give you a really simple solution. Maybe the best thing for you to do today is to actually take that thought, write it down on a piece of paper. As you're leaving today, throw it in the garbage can. And as you throw it in the garbage can, just simply say, Jesus, this is yours, not mine anymore. You are the one that will avenge. It's not mine. Let go and let him deal with it. Sin is very real. We need faith to increase our ability to forgive because it is what we are called to do as disciples of Jesus Christ. Don't carry around any longer the sin that we don't need to carry. Experience the freedom that only Christ can give when we give it to him and let it go. Sin, faith, our duty. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we really don't like to talk about sin. But one of the things that we've been told in Scripture is that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to convict the world of sin, to show us those areas in which we have come short of the perfection of God. And Lord, even though we can simply say, well, we'll never be as perfect as God, we're going to sin, we're humans, we have flesh, the reality of it is you have called us to give it to you. Whether it's our sin or whether it's someone who sinned against us, Lord, increase our faith to be able to deal with the sin in our lives and to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ, one who can clearly say, my sins have been covered by the blood of the Lamb, and I choose to live in the freedom knowing that sin is not my master. Lord, may we live as light, showing the light, displaying the light, as we live and as we forgive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.